Central Hall begins now. A very ambitious project where I have traveled 5 comic book stores, 8 hours on free comic book day, not to mention Wizard World. And I'll be interviewing and reviewing comic books by independent artists, as well as some comic books that are making an interesting comeback. Tonight I'll be interviewing the creators of the indie comic Freeloader. Now, this is an independent comic, so this may contain detailed plot spoilers and severe language. Listener discretion is advised. Once again to an episode of UnaCoutcast. UnaCoutcast here, never question ever. Now, as you probably saw in the Facebook advertisements, folks, Hunnicutter Hall has begun. I have close to a total from Free Comic Book Day to Wizard World Comic Con, and I've just gotten started. 40 different interviews being lined up, 40 artists, writers, all independents, and not only that, a lot of reviews. Now, this is from Free Comic Book Day, and I was stoked for this one. I have Sean Bishop and... what should I call you? Clover? Is that okay? Or...
Well, my real name is Heather Smith, but my pen name that I use is Clover S.
Oh, nice.
So, it doesn't matter. You can call me Clover if you want.
Well, I met you guys at Free Comic Book Day, and this independent comic did not disappoint. I have to ask you first and foremost, Sean, printing this, did you use Quark Express at all, out of curiosity?
No. Basically, to put the whole book together, I was using Clip Studio Paint.
Oh, okay. Because when I think of nostalgia, when I tried to put together a book, I tried to use Adobe, and then I tried to use Quark Express, and that I have not used since 1997. And that's what it kind of reminded me of with the layout.
But this, yeah, with the lettering and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this is like old school nostalgia for me. I mean, I just want to let everybody know, and I'm not trying to insult the artists or anything on this.
No, that's the point. It's supposed to be like kind of a throwback to like 90s series.
Yeah, this is like 90s grunge nostalgia for me. I mean, on Facebook, nobody knows how old I am. Just let it be known that I'm a child of the 90s in a way. Or at least I was around during the 90s, and we'll just leave it at that. So when you would go through your local or, you know, state or, you know, city universities, you would come across like these different pamphlets of artistic literature from independent artists. And that's what I love about Freeloader. So it's definitely a nostalgia piece. And Freeloader, I guess we should talk about the artwork. To me, it feels like a manga, like anime.
Yeah. I have a lot of influence for manga, and actually, I kind of tried to merge it together with the old 90s cartoons I was watching, like Animaniacs.
Ah, okay. I figured. Yeah, and as I say, you know, everybody says either manga or manga. I have come across several of them in my travels. I have to ask, because when people bring up anime, they bring up Dragon Ball Z. I've tried to get into Dragon Ball Z. I'm not even going to touch that right now. A friend of mine worked at a video store, and he was allowed to, you know, take care of the anime section because he was the expert. And he tried to explain everything on Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. I'm still confused about, you know, and then there's Cowboy Bebop, and there's, you know, God knows how many. But when it comes to manga, how do you would pronounce it? I mean, I've tried my best. What would you recommend? I mean, would this be something for a newbie to get into?
Yeah, it's pretty, like, friendly to, like, it's not going to have that, like, some manga are, like, outrageously, like, crazy. This is more kind of mellow. It's supposed to appeal to, like, people from American comics and the Japanese kind, while also retaining some, like, a cartoon feel. Another influence I have is my favorite movie of all time is Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Ah, of course. I figured. So this is pretty much kind of in a roundabout way, East culture meets West culture, and a little bit of pop culture between the both in between then.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I guess the first thing, and I'm asked both of you on, and I've, you know, when I put together the questions, do you remember, like, what the first thing you guys drew, like, what made you get into your artistic side?
Okay, for me, the first thing I ever remember drawing is Sonic the Hedgehog, because I got, like, Sonic 3 for Genesis, and I would, like, draw the box art.
Heather, what about you?
Well, I'm not really that good at drawing, but I do remember this one, like, art project I did when I was in, like, probably first grade or so. We were, like, making snowmen using, like, those tongue sticks that doctors use. And instead of making a snowman, I made SpongeBob SquarePants.
I actually, in my art class, because from ages 6 to 13, I tried my best. My community college had, like, these comic illustrator programs after school, and we would take a comic book, and we would try to draw what was on the cover. So I tried to draw a Tweety Bird, but he just looked like an uppercase letter D. And then I would draw a circle, and then for the feet, I think it was just, like, tubes, and it never came. I could draw, but I draw a little bit differently with the shapes. I can't draw people, so I've tried different projects. One of them was to try to do like these 3D shapes, like you would take a circle, a square, stairs, and a triangle, and try to make them 3D. And that was pretty much it. But as for the writing aspect, because I guess, you know, we can safely say that we're all writers. I mean, Sean, I know you are the writer for this, and Heather, you're the co-writer for this book. When was the first time that, you know, you, I don't know if it'd be fan fiction or when you put pen to paper and you realized, hey, you know what, I can start to do this for a living?
Well, I seriously wanted to become a writer from back when I was in, like, second grade. But back then, I didn't really know any better, and I was kind of, like, taking too many ideas from, like, the Magic Treehouse series that I was reading at the time. But then, as I got older, I started developing a lot more of my own ideas, and it got better from there. I think we've all started out kind of, like, doing fan fiction-esque kind of things when we're little.
For me, I kind of started the whole Freeloader thing as kind of like just a stupid little series basing a lot of characters off my friends. And then I went to art school, and that's when I really started, like, getting serious about, like, drawing stuff. The one thing is, like, I get a ton of ideas. Like, I get, like, a new idea every, like, couple seconds.
It's true.
And what about comics? Like, for the both of you, which was, like, the first one you guys ever read?
Oh, for me, since, like, I grew up loving the Who Framed Roger Rabbit movie, they had the comics for that. Or, like, they had Roger Rabbit comics. I remember having a whole bunch of them.
For me, I didn't start collecting comics until, like, kind of, I guess, a little later than most people, but before that, I was getting Nickelodeon magazine in the mail, and they always had comic strips in there that I really enjoyed reading. So, I guess that would be, like, the first comic I would read, even though it's not really, like, a comic book, it's still a comic, I guess.
I am so jealous you held on to your Roger Rabbit comics. I've been trying to find them for years. I'm sure they're probably, like, thrice the price now on eBay.
Oh, wow. I have, like, I believe I have, like, one still.
I know there was one that I saw after the movie came out. Like, it had something to do with Judge Doom being recreated. My memory's a little foggy, but I think it had something to do like the weasels met a fortune teller and they just were able to paint him and that's how he came back. That's the one I remember, but I had it for a while, and then I think a few years later, like, there was a convention, and I had the script for Toon Platoon, and when I moved years later, I misplaced it, but the only thing I have now are the, you know, the trades, you know, the novelizations, yeah. And of course, I ask most of my illustrators this, are you inspired by any of the writers from DC, Marvel, Image, Boom, any of the, you know, are there any ones that you would consider a mentor? I know we're going to say Jack Kirby and, you know, Stan Lee, but I've always been curious, like, is there anybody else that you would consider that you would like to meet from any of the major or minor comic publications?
Well, one of my big, a really big, like, inspiration I had for American comics is the series Bone by Jeff Smith.
Ah.
I really like his artwork. It's like, it's just amazing. Like, the way he does, like, the noir style, like, what's it? You know, the spot blacks and stuff.
Yes, yes.
And, like, of course, like, Kevin Eastman for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And, oh yeah, can't forget Peter Laird.
I really like, I don't know if you've heard of it, but from Arcadia Comics, there's a series called Mouse Guard. And what I like is that in between, like, the storyline novels, graphic novels that they come out with, there's, like, these collections of short stories in comic form that, like, each member of the artistic team will do a story in their own art style, which I think is really cool, and I like looking at those. And I find a lot of inspiration from seeing all the different styles collected in one book.
You see, this is why I loved going to Free Comic Book Day and the conventions. I have heard not only of Bone, and Bone I have in my drawer, like a plethora of comics, and Bone is one of them. Bone took me a few months because I didn't want to finish it in a day. I mean, that was a heavy-duty book. I have the entire collection of those comics in one gigantic...
Yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah, I have the huge one.
I had that. Actually, the funny thing is, both those comics, I also had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle reprint Volume 1 that they just came out with, like, a couple years ago. But, like, I was in New Jersey at the time, and then we got hit by Hurricane Sandy, so I lost, like, most of my books.
Oh, man, that sucks.
But I've been recollecting.
But Mouse Guard, I found out through Free Comic Book Day. There is a comic book that I came across, and it talked about several of these short stories, and Mouse Guard was one of them. So I do want to get into Mouse Guard.
Yeah, it's really good. Basically, it's like, it has sort of a realistic art style, but like all the main characters, the mice are drawn more cartoony while still like remaining a serious kind of story. And I really like stuff that like creates societies for animals. Like, I think that's such a cool idea, and I really enjoy reading stuff like that.
I do want to sit down one day, because there are some roundtables I want to do with the indie comics. Bone and Mouse Guard, at this point, would be two of them. But we'll get there at another time. Getting back to your book, of course, The Freeloader. I know I've asked you this, I'm sure this must be, you know, you write and you draw what you know. Is that how you pretty much came up with the title, the story, the character for Freeloader?
Okay. So, basically, for the storyline, like, I took what I had originally, that little comic book that I started basically basing the characters off of my friends, and since it was, like, the only thing I had, I kind of evolved and take a life of its own. So, during, like, college, I just kept, like, adding characters, like, basically adding the skills I acquired as I was going along, and I've been pouring everything into it, and then it's kind of like a puzzle, and it's just been like filling in. And at this point, like, now I'm starting to get like a very like deeper storyline put together, and a lot of the influence comes from like, okay, there is a song, I'm very influenced by Dream Theater. So there is a song called Octavarium that, like, it's one of my favorite songs of all time. So, like, I was kind of deeply inspired by that song. So a lot of the inspiration comes from that. And also drawing from all the, like, manga and comics I've been reading. But basically, it's all just been coming to me, if that makes any sense.
Well, it definitely feels like a puzzle piece. I'll give it that. And that's when I asked you, and we talked about this on Facebook, because I just got a little confused with a few things. The female character.
Okay.
What is her name exactly?
Okay, her name is Agia Hokesson.
Okay. And Freeloader would be who exactly?
Freeloader is basically going back to my favorite movie of all time. If you notice that in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Roger Rabbit isn't the main character. So basically, it's kind of the same. Freeloader isn't the main character, but the story is named after him. Agia is the real main character of it, and I never give the audience his name because we're hearing the story
from her point of view.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, basically, Agia never really cares to learn Freeloader's name because she just, like, gets annoyed with the fact that he is freeloading off of her through most of the series. So she just calls him that as, like, kind of a term of endearment, but kind of not.
So are these characters, are they dating, or are they, like, how did they meet exactly?
Oh, okay. So, basically, one night, she's walking through a park. She just kind of recently evaded a gang that she was part of, and she's fleeing from, like, her dark past. And she gets arrested by him for being out, like, past, like, 12 o'clock, because Freeloader is a very amateurish bounty hunter. So, like, he hunts down people for, like, littering and jaywalking. And he arrests her for breaking a curfew, basically in order to turn her in for a couple bucks. And that sparks the whole, she gets dragged to the police station, and she actually has a wanted warrant out for her. And which turns into a whole conflict in the police station, and the officer in charge is basically giving her a chance to repent for her sins by, like, or not sins, but, like, crimes, by working with Freeloader and helping him become a bounty hunter.
Yeah, but eventually she, like, warms up to the idea and tries to actually help him out later on in the series.
Okay, so this is kind of almost like something from the Mod Squad, where you had a gang member that either goes to jail or gets to become an undercover cop.
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay, good. That would. So, exactly how old are these two characters?
Well, now we reach the ballpark of Agia is around 20, 21. And Freeloader is, like, around 17 or 16. So we're not keeping them... They're not high school students.
Okay, so this is pretty... Okay. That kind of makes sense now. Because I was kind of curious, because I did ask you this also on Facebook, where we get to that moment where she's being interrogated by the cop. And I wasn't too sure, because I think he said this was a flashback that we're going through, where she was with the cop and she lands the deal to work with Freeloader so she doesn't go to jail. The whole thing with the gun, was this, as I said, we're getting her origin story. That was the whole point of this was a flashback, I take it then.
Yeah. Basically, the flashback happened when she was on the bus. I started the comic off showing, like, that she's working with him for the first day, and they're just, like, randomly darting around looking for people breaking the law.
Yeah, and when you're sitting on the bus, sometimes your mind can wander, so she's just kind of thinking back to the events of, like, the night before and thinking about how she actually got wound up in this entire, like, bounty hunting thing that's with an annoying partner.
Well, I do like the end, though, when Freeloader is about to attack and arrest this guy for litter, and he just dropped a piece of paper on the curb.
Yeah, that's basically his whole dynamic is that Freeloader, like, he's kind of, like, oblivious sometimes, so he'll see petty crimes happening and think that they're a big deal, but then when actual stuff goes down, he doesn't really, like, it doesn't register in his mind.
So, I met you guys, of course, at Free Comic Book Day. Where else have you been promoting this comic? Because I think, you know, we have Atlantic City Comic Con coming up. I believe you've mentioned that. But besides, you know, whether it be online or offline, where have you really been trying to push this comic?
Well, I kind of just started the convention scene. Well, like, my other problem is I kept restarting this comic book. So I actually started in C2B2 in Chicago. That was my first convention having a table. That was like 2 or 3 years ago. And recently, I just went to Otakon Vegas in January. And then we had Free Comic Book Day. And now I'm aiming towards possibly RetroCon and New York Comic Con. We're going to try your luck at them.
Well, Retro is interesting because I've been to that for the past 4 years now.
Oh, I love RetroCon.
Yeah, RetroCon, unfortunately, I'm not going to be at this year because I'll be down in Florida. But I will say this much. RetroCon, I feel, is very humbling. I prefer going to the indie conventions more. I think it's because it is out of the way, but you get your money's worth for it. So,
oh, definitely.
Yeah, and I love the fact I get to meet the angry video game nerd all the time. So, and it's always like a different interview, like every time I go see him and Mike. So it's kind of fun. And of course, I think Doug Walker's going to be there. So it's even, you know, it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, I met him when I went to RetroCon 1 year. He was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't really expect always when you meet, like, I guess, not really celebrities, but, like, online personalities. You don't really expect them to be so, like, laid back and cool all the time. So it was really refreshing to see that he was actually like that.
Now, I wanted to ask you, this is a big thing for any artist. This is your comic, of course. Has anybody given you any creative differences? Have you had any creative difference issues at all with this book?
Could you give me a little bit more specifics?
Well, this is your book, of course. So my question is that I guess you and Clover collaborate on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So do you ever, like, have an argument, like, oh, I want to write something this way, or I think it would be better if it was drawn this way, or written, you know? Do you ever have any, like, major creative arguments or any minor creative arguments?
Okay, I got you. Well, usually what we do, we kind of take back a very laid-back approach, and we kind of pass it around. Like, I'll write the first take, like, any ideas I get in my head, and then I'll have her, like...
And then I have to translate it into actual English.
Oh, yeah. One thing, and you'll probably notice it immediately, is you can probably tell which sentences I wrote as opposed to what Clover wrote, because I usually write the most ridiculous things ever, and I decide we're going to leave it. Like, I believe on the second page there is a line where she's saying something along the lines of, get your ducks in order.
Yeah, I was like, I really wanted Sean to, like, get rid of that line. I was like, can I please, like, reword this in a different way? And he was like, well, no, you see, because it's like an inside joke I have with a friend of mine, so I'm like, But generally, we work pretty well together. We don't really have any major arguments, I don't think.
Now, the other thing I wanted to ask, especially with the creative differences, is that you have the comic, this is independent, it's self-published, I take it, correct?
Yeah.
So, my other thing is, I guess, with creative differences, like, if you, you know, were at a convention, somebody from, like, you know, Boom Studios came by and gave you a card and said, I want to set up a meet with you next week, and, you know, read through the comic and said, okay, I like this, this, and this, but I want, like, he gives you, like, 20 pages worth of notes of changes, like, what would be, you know, would you want to keep your integrity or sell out, or how would you feel about that?
Okay.
I think we actually talked about this before.
Oh, okay. So, I'm not going to be like one of those people who are like, well, I want it this way, and it has to be this way all the time. But, basically, I'm willing to hear out if anybody, like, if they want to pick it up and they have some changes. And I'm willing to, like, listen and hear it out. But I do have an idea, and I kind of, like, I want to keep to that. If that makes any sense?
Oh, of course, yes. We all want to keep our dignity, in a way.
Like,
yeah.
Like, if they said, well, instead of having your series be, like, kind of action-y, let's make it a romantic comedy. Like, if they said that, it'd be like,
yeah, I probably would not do that.
Okay, good. Yeah, because that's the thing too. I'll shoot an example. I don't know if you're a fan of the 2012 version of the Three Stooges, but it made its money. I'm a huge fan of, you know, the original Three Stooges, of course, but my point being is that when it made its money, they're making a sequel, now they're going to turn it into an action comedy. So I guess that would be my question, like, if it ain't broke, why would you try to fix it? But you pretty much answered my question with that one. The other thing is that I just met you guys at Free Comic Book Day. How did you meet up and say, okay, let's work on a comic book together?
Oh, Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, yeah. A couple years ago, my first Free Comic Book Day at Captain Blue Hen, I was doing my... basically the first table there, and Clover came up to me and was basically, she was like, do you need a writer or something along the lines?
Yeah, I was really interested in his series. It looked like a lot of fun, and I liked his art style and stuff, so I like took a look at like the stickers he was having at the table and the business cards and stuff, and
yeah. Well, the one thing, this is funny too. One kind of rule I do is, say, like, her, when she came up to me, saying that she, like, wrote and stuff, I would give her, like, I was like, hey, yeah, just, like, email me some of your stuff and I'll check it out. A lot of people, like, won't follow through on that. So I kind of, like, leave it up to them, like, okay, just, like, show me what you got. And then she sent me a whole bunch of stuff. And I really enjoyed it. And basically, I needed somebody that would, like, translate what I write kind of better. Because, like, I'm more of a...
gibberish.
Well, no. I write scenes better than I write whole stories. And I like to focus more on the characters than the actual storyline. So we kind of, like, work together fixing that.
I kind of make it more, like, coherent.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Say, Jarvis, is it that time?
The house party protocol, sir?
Correct.
The Pull Bag is GCRN's comic book review and discussion-based podcast. Join me, your host, TFG and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we make our way through the comics we are reading. Inside the Pull Bag, you'll also find back-issue classics and origins episodes of how we got into comic reading. You can find the Pull Bag every Wednesday on iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Make your great escape into comics and jump into the Pull Bag today.
Jarvis. Hey.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Hello, geeks. Want a podcast that covers a vast array of topics with no rhyme or reason? Then check out Altered Geek Unlimited, where the topics fly more or less off the cuff. We cover media news, TV, our favorite geek products, and of course, your feedback. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Is this thing on? Oh, goody. Why, hello there. It's your dear old Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here, of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by Geekcast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the Bat was so popular? Ugh! Join Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tara for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Clown after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next Geekcast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
Of course, I asked this question later, and you kind of answered it before, but I'm still kind of curious. You know, because we talked about this a few minutes ago of how much would be, you know, Sean and how much would be Clover.
Oh, okay. Basically, what happens is Sean will give me, like, a basic idea to go off of, and then I'll write down a bunch of stuff in, like, paragraph form and send it to him, and he'll start storyboarding it out or just making it into a comic if we're in a hurry or whatever, and he'll invite me over to edit what he has. You know, basically just working off of each other's strengths and weaknesses kind of thing. And like he said before, with like the ridiculous lines, you know, they're more him. And then for me, I'm more of like a serious tone, but also trying to make sure that everything is grammatically correct and clear to the reader and, you know, just so that it's easy to understand for everyone who just wants to come up and read our comic. And anything to add?
Yeah, that would help. What is the longest or shortest project you've been working on?
Oh, okay. So, like, about, like, oh, wow, it's been, like, a year. I moved out to LA for like a whole couple months, and we ended up meeting this music video director, and she was looking for somebody to animate a music video for a musician named Rob Torres, who he played for the band named Trapped and a couple other bands, and now he's doing his own thing. Like, he's coming out with his own EP. One of his songs we made into a music video. We did the storyboarding, we filmed it, and we also, I did editing for it, like video editing. And we actually got it into a music or a film festival, and it actually won. That took about like a whole year to do. That was probably the longest thing I've ever done.
Heather, what about you?
Well, I'm gonna do the shortest first. The shortest project I've ever worked on. I actually entered a microfiction story into a contest, and I wanted to try to really impress them, so I wanted to make it as short as I could. So I only made it one sentence long, and I entered it. I mean, I didn't win, but, you know, I managed to write a story in one sentence, so that's always fun. And for the longest project I've ever worked on, I guess I would say this comic, because I've been working on it for about 4 years with Sean, so that's pretty long.
Not bad. Now, of course, you have a Patreon page going up, and I've, of course, started to support you guys at that starting last week.
And I thank you much for that.
Oh, I bet you do, sir.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Oh, no problem, yes. It was definitely worth it. And your Blogspot page. My question, of course, is how has it been helping, or at least we're hoping it's helping the comic, but what is your goal exactly? Have you tried to set up Kickstarter and GoFundMe, or just happy with the Patreon right now?
Actually, this Patreon is the first time I ever tried like any kind of crowdfunding thing. I was always on the fence. I was like, should I do that or shouldn't I? And this was like finally trying it. Actually, that Patreon page just came out like almost 2 days before Free Comic Book Day. So it hasn't been up that long. Basically, I'm just going to see how it goes. You can keep it up for a while. Hopefully we can start getting it around. I noticed like you help promote the stuff I post. Thanks a lot.
Oh, and I will be continuing that, believe me. I'll be continuing to sharing all whatever you need me to on the Facebook page. You know, anything to help out the indie circuit. And the other thing I also shared is that I believe you're setting up a tour. Or this will be... Now, is this the first tour you're setting up, or this is one to help the comic book?
Well, the only thing about a tour that we're doing is we're just going to the conventions and promoting it. Like, we're going to try for New York Comic Con and RetroCon, like I said, and whatever else we could do in the future.
Well, that pretty much would answer my question where you guys are going to be in the next few weeks, because I have, you know, put down where you posted, where you're setting up your tour. Other projects, I guess you're just going to be focusing. Are you putting all your eggs in one basket for Freeloader, or are there any other projects you're working on?
As of right now, yeah, I'm pretty much focusing on Freeloader. Well, there is one more little thing that we're doing in the background of Freeloader. This will kind of... I accidentally didn't answer one of your questions. For the plans of the Patreon page, which... what I want to do is, with Freeloader, we're going to try to make it into something. Like the comic.
Right.
Also, I'm working with my friend who is putting together a website. We're going to make a studio. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be finding artists who want to post their stuff on the studio, like their comics and stuff, to like get it out there. And eventually our studio will like evolve into like, we know how to do animation and like video and stuff. So we're going to start building that up. And I want to eventually get a studio running that will help people get their foot in the door for like working in animation. And basically they can work on projects to build up their resume. Because out there right now, it's kind of like every single job you need like years of experience to get. And it's kind of a catch 22 when you're starting off.
Yeah, we're also working on a one-shot graphic novel to submit as well.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want to release too many details about that right now, but it's going to be something a little bit different from Freeloader.
Yes.
Well, that is great. Guys, I want to thank you so much. Where can the good people on the interweb find you guys?
You can find us at our Facebook page. Basically, it's Freeloader Comics.
Yeah, just facebook.com/freeloadercomics.
Yep.
Well, of course, I'll be continuing pushing and promoting your Patreon page and the Blogspot and anything else you want to shoot at me, I'll be sharing on my page as well. Heather, Sean, thank you so much. And for you, the listeners out there, you know where to find us. We're finishing up Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, and we're also taking a vote. You, the listeners, and I'm talking about anybody, including you two that are listening right now, and I would appreciate this one since I put money in the Patreon page here. But don't think of this as a bribe. We're either going to be discussing Attack of the Killer Tomatoes or Donnie Darko. This was set up by my co-host Kendra, and so far it seems like Donnie Darko is winning. I've only seen the movie once, but I really want to discuss Killer Tomatoes again. I have not. So if you go to the Facebook page on Hunnic Outcasts, make your voice heard, whichever one you want to pick, we will be discussing. And of course, we finished a recording of the 1,000th download. Thank you again, listeners. Terrorvision. It's this great 80s killer puppet movie. Now, I'm not going to tell you when it's going to be released because, as you know, this podcast is also a grab bag. So it will be out before the end of 2015, but rest assured, it will be out. And not to mention the fact, we also have Shark Week in August. We're going to be talking Jaws, Sharknado. We got a ton of stuff going on. You can always shoot us a line, have any requests, hunnicfeedback@gmail.com. And until then, we'll talk to you next time and make your great escape into comics.
By the power of Grayskull, I command the Jawbridge. Open!
Yes, that's right. We have traveled to Eternia to enter Castle Grayskull. Join Optimus Solo and TF Joe Mike as they find themselves telling tales of Eternia. We cover all things He-Man in this 45-episode-long podcast. You can find us on iTunes and www.geekassradio.com. By the power of Grayskull, we all have the power.
Great coffee.
Hey. Chad, who's that strange, somber man on the cover of that book you're reading?
Oh, that's H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh, I've heard of him, but I never really got into his stuff. It's kind of strange and hard to read.
No, I used to think that too, but that all changed when I started listening to the H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast.
What's that?
The H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast is a weekly podcast.
Tell me more.
Well, these two really smart and hilarious guys give a synopsis of the story, then they talk about its background, the critical views, and what it says about the author.
Well, where can I listen?
Let me tell you, Chris, you can go to hppodcraft.com or, heck, just subscribe through iTunes. It's that easy.
Oh, Chad, I'm so excited. Now I can listen to this podcast and pretend to all my snooty friends that I actually read and understand H.P. Lovecraft.
Hey, that's what I do. Oh, dear.
Yeah! hppodcraft.com